Hello, my name is Zoe Cormier, and welcome to the Sonic Tour of the Brain. You're about to embark on a 20-minute tour as we ask the question, what does the brain sound like? You probably know what the brain looks like. You can probably imagine what it's like to touch or even smell one. But what do you think it sounds like? Let's find out. First, we will need to get at the brain. Surgical saw, please. That was not a simulation, by the way. That was the real sound of a patient's skull being cut open before having a brain tumor removed at a hospital in the Ukraine in 1984 using a makeshift piece of surgical equipment, a metal cheese wire. So we've reached the brain. What do you think it might sound like if we gave it a little wiggle? What if we scooped it out and plonked it on a platter? I hope you enjoyed that. That, I should say, was not a real brain, but a block of jelly shaking around in a soundproof studio. The real brain, however, would probably sound pretty much the same because it actually has the texture and consistency of jelly. So what does the wobbly tissue inside your head sound like? Well, scientists figured out more than a century ago how to listen to the brain without even having to cut open the skull. Instead, placing sensitive microphones on the outside of somebody's head to produce something you may have heard of, an EEG, which stands for electroencephalogram. What you are about to hear is a bunch of tiny sensors picking up on the noises of the brain. Listen closely. What did that sound like? If you think it sounded like a storm of electricity, that's exactly what you heard. The brain is full of tiny wires, which we call neurons, and traveling along those wires are tiny sparks of electricity. The entire brain is constantly buzzing with little bits of static. Most of the time, it's a gentle, steady chitter-chatter of electricity, but sometimes it builds up into an explosion. What you just heard was a seizure, a massive storm of electricity. What would a single bit of that electricity sound like? A single neuron? Well, it sounds like this. That was the sound of a single neuron firing, which was made by sticking a glass needle into the nerve connecting the ear to the brain, the auditory nerve. In the 1950s, engineers decided to try and create small pieces of machinery that they hoped would restore hearing to people who had been born deaf, what we now call a cochlear implant. A small speaker is stuck to the outside of the head, just behind the ear, and connected to a tiny wire that threads directly into the auditory nerve, stimulating it with electricity and allowing deaf people to hear the world around them. But here's the thing. Cochlear implants don't actually allow the users to hear the world as people with normal hearing do. The sound quality can be very rough. When the first cochlear implants were made in the 1960s, they only had one channel, and by 1976 they had improved to 8 channels, but today they still typically only have between 6 and 10 channels. To give you an idea of what that might sound like, we have a bunch of samples going from 1 channel to 2 to 4 to 8 and to 12 channels. Listen carefully.
Now the number of active channels is 8. Now the number of active channels is 12.
Let's hear that again, but in reverse. Listen to how the sound quality deteriorates with a fewer number of channels. As you heard, having just one channel is very different from the kind of hearing that most people have, and even 8 channels is still pretty rough. Implant technology is improving, however, so it's hoped that in the future people who are hearing impaired, or even profoundly deaf, might be able to have their ability to hear a range of sounds restored. Now, even those of us who have normal hearing abilities will lose some of our hearing as we get older. As you age, you are less able to hear high-pitched frequencies. So, can you hear this? 10,000 hertz? Can you hear this? 13,000 hertz? Can you hear this? 17,000 hertz? If you heard the last track, chances are you're younger than 18. If you didn't, it's because you've lost the ability to hear sounds that are higher than 17,000 hertz, and you will never hear them again. If that bothers you, don't worry. Everyone will wind up unable to hear them eventually. This sound is also known as the mosquito. You may have heard of mosquito repellent, an alarm that is used by department stores trying to shoo away pesky teenagers. So as we just learned, sometimes we don't hear sounds that are there, but sometimes we do hear things that aren't there. I'd like you to listen very carefully to the next track. What does it sound like to you? Did that sound like a series of notes going up and up and up? Called a Shepherd's scale, this is actually a trick of the mind, an auditory illusion. Each note is actually composed of several tones at different pitches. Our brains focus on only one of those pitches, giving the illusion that the scale is constantly rising. You've probably heard this before. The Beatles use a Shepherd's scale in their classic psychedelic opus, I Am the Walrus. Composer Jean-Claude Risset took the Shepherd scale to the next level by creating a glissando, in which the tones slide from one to the next in a series of overlapping notes. This tricks your mind into thinking that the notes are forever descending. Some people have called it the sonic equivalent of a barbershop pole. Icelandic pop queen Björk uses a version of this on the album Biophilia. Auditory illusions like this aren't just a fun way to play with sound and make creepy noises. They actually tell us something about how the brain works. Some of the most impressive auditory illusions play with the way our brains localize sound in space. Have you ever wondered how your brain can tell if a sound came from behind you, or in front of you, or to your right, or to your left? What would something right in the middle of your head sound like? Your brain can tell where a sound comes from because you have two ears. The brain uses the difference in time that it takes from sounds to reach one ear before the other to calculate where the source of the sound is. It's pretty sophisticated when you think about it, considering how incredibly tiny those time differences are. Illusions that play with where our brains think sound comes from are called binaural illusions. Here's another one, the matchbox illusion. Now we come to the last of our auditory illusions, the famous phantom word illusion. Listen closely. Do you hear any words?
Well,
Some people hear no where. Some people hear no way. What did you hear? The phantom word illusion is important, says Professor Diana Deutsch, the scientist who discovered it, because it shows how the brain will pick out patterns among random noises and try to make words where there aren't any. Our brains do this every single day. Even though, when we speak, we spew out a continuous stream of noises, our brains somehow manage to pick out each word easily without us ever having to think about it. Just listen to people speaking foreign languages and see how hard it can be to tell where one word ends and another begins. Dr. Deutsch has a huge range of fantastic and sometimes very creepy illusions that you can listen to for free on her website, philomel.com. She's been researching auditory illusions for several decades because they are endlessly fascinating, she says. Trying to understand how our brains process speech is also the goal of Dr. Brian Pasley at the University of California, except he is approaching the problem from another angle, by looking at what goes on inside the brain while it listens to somebody speaking. By creating a picture of the brain while it listens to somebody speaking, can we tell what word they just heard? Or maybe even their inner voice? What you're about to hear is his first attempt at mind reading. First, you will hear the word as it was spoken to somebody, and then you will hear what his computer program thinks that word sounded like based on the listening person's brain.
Structure.
Town.
Property. Pencil.
So what you just heard was structure, town, property, and pencil. Of course, when he first published his results describing his attempts at mind reading, some people worried his technology could be used by oppressive governments to monitor and control us. Dr. Pasley says it really annoys him when people think this about his work, because he has a very different goal in mind. He hopes instead that one day we might be able to create mind reading machines that will help people who are physically paralyzed and unable to speak. What's more, understanding better how the brain creates language will help us understand what is so special about the brain itself. But philosopher Dan Lloyd from Trinity College in Connecticut says, actually, it's not language we need to think about if we really want to get at how the brain works. It's music. What you are about to hear is the recording of a human brain, where each part of the brain has been turned into a different note. As each bit of the brain becomes active, that note will play. The result is a kind of orchestra of the brain, all the different instruments playing their part, together making a symphony. Dr. Lloyd thinks that it's more than just coincidence that the noises of the brain sound like music. In fact, he says, the language of the brain is music. As he puts it, we are all symphonies. What's more, he thinks this might help explain why some people make music, and why music exists at all. Perhaps music is just our way of representing our true selves in a way that language never could. With that thought, I'll leave you with our last track, an original piece of music made entirely from the recordings you just heard, a remix of The Sonic Tour of the Brain by composer Dean Williams. I hope you enjoy this last track, The Music of the Mind. First, we will need to get at the brain.
Surgical saw.
Please.
Thank you.
Many thanks to Jeffrey Smith, director of The English Surgeon, for providing the recording of Brain Surgery, to Bombas and Parr, in association with sound artist Douglas Murphy, for The Wobbling Jelly, to scientists Simon Jones, Diana Deutsch, Brian Pasley, and Dan Lloyd, to sound engineer Duncan Thornley for putting this tour together with us, and composer Dean Williams for remixing it all into the music of the mind. My name is Zoe Cormier, and this has been the Sonic Tour of the Brain. Thanks for listening.